This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food, and of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
This is The Breakfast Grill. I'm speaking to MK Goh, CEO of Carex Berhad, the world's largest condom manufacturer, with a capacity of over 4.5 billion pieces manufactured at the end of last year. Right now in the studio with me is MK Goh, the CEO of Carex Berhad. Welcome to the show, MK.
Good morning.
We understand right now that Carex have gone a full cycle. The last time you were on The Breakfast Grill, it was just before the IPO, and right now you're enjoying quite steady income. In fact, your market capitalization has grown from strength to strength. What are the updates from the last discussion that we had?
Oh, well, we have grown tremendously. When we went for the IPO, if everyone remember, we were at 3 billion capacity, and suddenly everybody heard of the world's largest condom maker growing, doubling its capacity within the next 3 years, from 3 billion to 6 billion. And as far as where we are now, we're actually at 5 billion capacity. And we've grown into brands. We have done a few acquisitions. And I think every day has been a very interesting day.
Carex is developing or supplying condoms for other condom makers on top of building your own brands. One of the supplier that is part of your customer repertoire is Durex. Does it pose a big problem trying to claim for greater market share in the retail market space because Durex has a better brand recognition as compared to, say, one of your brands, One Brand, and also Carex brand?
Well, we look at the brands very differently. We are one of the manufacturers. In fact, people like Durex have their own factory, and they are using us for some of their, probably sometimes I would say it's a standby purchase. So we don't really have any problems with them. We are not binded by any contracts that we are not supposed to compete with them. And I think the market is very big. And I think where we come as well with our brands, the One Brand, it's something which is very different in terms of packaging and, you know, the way we actually approach the market in a very different way. So if you look at our brands, we come in a circular packaging. We're very strong in social media. And it's an American brand which we have just recently brought here.
Let's talk about your purchase of the Global Protection Corporation. How has that come along?
It's been 1 year now. It's been very interesting. Many things that we learn, because as you know, that Carex has always been a condom maker, more as an OEM condom maker. And we always knew that we wanted to move up the value chain and we need to actually acquire a brand. So that was actually a very new experience, and I think things are starting to roll out now.
Of course, Carex is it's not a new company. It's been around for some time. You were mentioning earlier before the interview that this is actually started off with a very different name.
Yeah.
Bunrun?
Bunrup.
Bunrup, okay.
Yeah.
So let's hear a little bit about that story.
Well, the business started in 1988 by my late grandfather. We took over his old company's name, which was Bun, and Rub, which rubber. But like any other business, our first few years was a pure struggle. And someone came to us and asked us, why you name a company called Bun Rub when it sounds like it's going bankrupt? So we then changed. We had a brand which was called Carex with a C, and we wanted to change it to Carex with a C, but unfortunately, we were not able to register that. And that's how Carex actually came with a K. So it's all about care, and that's what we believe in. Bun in my language calls, you know, tens of thousands, you know, ten thousands of rubber. We wanted to make a lot of rubber. I suppose the vision has started with probably being a large condom maker, and we probably became the largest now.
Of course, market capitalization has grown from strength to strength. I have here 1.2 billion in 2014, 2.0 billion end of that last year, and the current target is about 2.6 billion, maybe 3 billion even following this year. And this is, of course, a very impressive track record considering the humble beginnings of your firm. And there's an urban legend that says you sold condoms on a bicycle. Is there any truth to this kind of urban legend?
No, it was not. But I personally came into the business officially in year 2000. But in year 1992, in fact, the factory was already my house. So we were struggling, and we all moved to the factory, and we were all working in the factory. But for me, I was probably a delivery boy for my uncle. After school, sometimes when we had to deliver condoms to 7-Eleven in Singapore, so he would drive and he would just drop me off, and I will actually go down and start to deliver condoms. And I was still a very young kid then. I was still in my secondary school days.
And of course, one of the strongest demand for condom right now is, of course, the misfortune that is afflicting Latin America and the Caribbeans, the Zika outbreak virus. It's a mosquito-borne virus. The WHO, as of February 2016, have declared it a public health emergency. And this is, while it's a misfortune to other individuals and also regions, it spells good news for Carrick's Berhad, because the need for them to acquire for more sexual intercourse would be in place. They would need more condoms. Is Carex actually ready for this kind of surge in demand, or has it always been part of your planning?
We have been planning to grow. We had very aggressive expansion plan, and anything like this would be handled pretty easily within the factory. We are already well established in the Latin American countries, especially in countries like Brazil. And as you're well aware of, in countries like in Brazil, registration for condoms, it takes a very long time. So if there were any surge in demand, which we hope it will, we will be definitely benefiting from it. And it's interesting because it's just not Zika. Because even before Zika, you had the Ebola virus. And these are things which actually are viruses that actually stays on a human body after some time. And it can continue to transmit through body fluids. And sexual intercourse is probably one of them, which could cause the transfer of the virus.
It's not easy getting the license, as you mentioned, in Latin America and elsewhere. And it has been a long time coming for you to get these operating licenses. What was it like for Carex Berhad? Was it difficult to actually expand your business? You started off in Malaysia. Now you're in Latin America. It's a geography that is quite interesting. Not many Malaysian companies are at. What was the foresight that you had in entering these kind of markets?
Well, when we started the business, we didn't have a choice. You know, our manufacturing base is in Malaysia when we started the business. And Malaysia is a very small country. In terms of usage of condoms, it's very small. So from day one, we always knew that we had to export these condoms. I suppose when, you know, you're driven with a mission, and you know, you want to grow the company, you just go to every corners of the world. And I remember in year 2000, when I first joined the business, my uncle brought me on a round trip to Brazil. It was the longest trip I ever had in my life. It was 43 hours before I reached there, because we had to take the cheapest economy flight from Malaysia to Brazil, and we went through Korea and US and finally arrived there. I would say that those days were very memorable. But I suppose when you had that passion in you, that just drives you to every corner around the world.
The research and development facility is also here.
Yeah.
And a lot of these analysts are evaluating Carex Berhad, saying that the R&D part of your business is going to be a big contributor to the positives of your company. What is it that is making your R&D department very, very lucrative to look at?
Well, if you look at the condom today, I would say that the rubber condom that you find, you know, everywhere, it's over 100 years old, right? It's a very old product, but it has been made popular ever since HIV/AIDS. So if you look into technologies that you can actually incorporate, because if you look back again at history, you look at condoms, you know, it started as a safety device. Today, it has moved beyond a safety device. It's moved into pleasure. So that's where we have seen over the years, they were condoms with colors and textures and flavors. But I think what the consumers today want to have is to use a condom and feel it is not there. So that is where a lot of research and development now comes in, into looking into probable new materials, new chemicals that could now make condoms thinner. And we have been talking about nanotechnology all this time. And slowly we are now starting to see commercialization of that. There are so many things that you look at. You know, even now, there is this wonder material called graphene, which you could possibly add into rubber and make it super thin. And you could probably then, you know, feel like you're not wearing anything. And that's really where we feel that that's the future of condoms, because the use of condoms today is still very, very low around the world. You know, we're looking at only, what, 4 condoms per person per year, which is very low. And we think that it's not because that condoms are sexy. We need to make condoms feel better. And with that, I think the demand of condoms will continue to grow exponentially.
How has the findings of your R&D being rolled out at the manufacturing level? Is it still very much in research, or has some of the R&D output been experienced in the commercial side?
Well, we have experienced that coming out with new, over the last 10, 20 years, we have rolled out a lot of new products like the glow-in-the-dark condoms, for example. We have came up with condoms that are a lot thinner than it used to be. We have came out with condoms with multiple textures in it, which is actually very difficult to produce. So whatever we have thought has actually been brought to the market. And I think today size does matters to a certain extent, because if you look at the condom manufacturers around the world today, a lot of them are fairly small. The industry is quite niche. And a lot of the smaller players would probably have less resources today to do the more complicated research that will be coming in future, because today people are looking beyond just changing a mold in the machine and making something different with size or shape. So people are now looking into the feeling and the textures and the materials. And that is where today, with a healthy balance sheet of where Carex is and a healthy cash flow, that gives us a lot of ammunition to do a lot of new research programs.
Now, a quick search on Bloomberg, I realized that about 80% or close to 90% of your revenue is from condoms itself. And it seems that a lot of work is being put in R&D. Is there a possibility of you monetizing the output found in the R&D and increase that revenue share of your firm coming in from this research? Are you thinking of selling some of these technologies found in your research to other firms?
Oh, no. We don't.
All right. So yeah. It's very much proprietary.
Yes, it's proprietary to us. It's where we develop it only for our own use.
The biggest problem that we have right now, the buzz in Malaysia at least, is on the reliance of foreign labor. And there is a high dependency of foreign labor in your firm. And we know that the Home Ministry has introduced some initiatives to actually increase on the levy of foreign workers. That has created a lot of noise. MEF, the Malaysian Employees Federation, is making some noise on it. Will this be a negative impact on your firm?
There is impact, because with Carex today, 50% of our production is now in Thailand. Over here in Malaysia, we have about 700 to 800 foreign workers, and definitely there is a minimal impact that we see. The only way to mitigate that impact is to move further into automation. We are putting our automation drive faster. We know in the long term wise, in a country like in Malaysia, we have to definitely reduce, labor, general labor use.
Okay. I'm speaking to MK Goh, the CEO of the world's largest condom manufacturer. Up next, we'll talk more about government initiatives as well as the retail business. Stay tuned. This is BFM 89.9.
You're still here. Good. Now, if you're listening to this podcast while on the treadmill, you're already off to a good start. If you're not, don't forget to join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on the 2nd of April. Find out how you can live a better, healthier life. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
Welcome back. This is The Breakfast Grill. I'm speaking to MK Goh, CEO of Carex Berhad, the world's largest condom manufacturer. MK, it's not often that we get a Malaysian firm to be the world's largest anything. And right now, you are indeed the world's largest condom manufacturer with an impressive repertoire of clients. However, some of the problems that you face is on the lack of long-term contracts with customers. Is this affecting the kind of expectation of revenue coming in for year on year?
No, I don't see that as an issue. In fact, that is actually something which the industry has been practicing. Condom itself, it's a medical device which requires registration in most countries. And it's difficult to just for our clients to move from one manufacturer to the other, because with registration, it takes sometimes over 2 years just to get registration done. And with that, you know, very long-term business view, most of my clients has been with us for over 10, 15, 20 years.
Let's talk about the government initiatives. Government is very proactive and also reactive at the same time in getting or trying to push for businesses to go abroad. Invest KL, Invest Penang, Invest Selangor, all these kind of initiatives are there. Have you had any help from the government, or are you working together with the government on some of these initiatives?
Well, we have definitely been on multiple Invest Malaysia events. We will be at the Malaysia Invest Malaysia event here this year again. It will be our third year. And I've done that roadshow as well, together with Bursa Malaysia, through in Japan. And I think that gives foreigners a good insight about Malaysia. You know, that's together with the corporate side. But, you know, on the business side, when we work with the rubber industry, we work very closely with the Malaysian Rubber Export Promotional Council as well, which I sit there as a board member. And we are very proactive in terms of promoting the use of Malaysian rubber products globally.
Falling back to our discussion earlier on the acquisition of Global Protection Corporation, this marks the group's entry into the premium condom retail business. Pardon my ignorance in this field. What is the difference between a premium condom retail business and a regular retail business or a non-premium?
Well, they are premium in the sense that the one brand is probably selling at the same prices where the global leaders are selling. So, for example, in the US, you have brands like Trojan, Lifestyles, you have brands like Durex. So they are selling at that same level pricing. But Global Protection is not just selling the one brand. In fact, we are also a health distributor where we distribute a lot of condoms to the health market. And we do also do distribution for the mentioned brands just now. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of custom condoms. In fact, we are actually a one-stop condom center in the US.
And this relationship that you have, particularly on this new segment that you're trying to tap, the premium condom retail business, it is said here that the management is targeting to grow OBM revenue contribution to over 20% in the next 3 to 5 years. I think currently you're at 9%. Are you on track to meet this target?
Yes, I think we'll be on track. We think that there is a lot more opportunities for both organic and inorganic growth.
There's also other businesses that you provide other than condoms.
Yes.
This includes catheter and other medical probe covers. How is it going along there? It doesn't seem to be growing in terms of revenue share.
It's more stable in terms of growth, and both products are actually growing. But the other area that we see a lot more potential growth would be in the lubricant business, because today, lubricant business, I see it as more like men's cosmetics. It wasn't there before, but today it is, you know, one of the fastest moving products. So that goes together with condoms, with condom lubricants, or what we call lubricating gels. It's also now being sought after by governments. So governments are also now starting to buy lubricants. And that is an opportunity for us to tap into this market. It's actually bigger than even the condom business itself.
I'm speaking to MK Goh, the CEO of the world's largest condom manufacturer, Carex Berhad. There are some arguments here that your company's valuations are a bit too stretched. The stock now is actually trading at a PE multiplier of about 38.4 times and earnings and a price-to-book ratio of about 5.65. If you put in contrast with the same companies doing the same business, Australian condom maker Ansell Limited actually trades at a PE of 43 times, while London-based Rickard Beckinsale Group is actually hovering around 28 times. Do you think that your valuations are a bit too stretched?
We leave the valuation to the market. We think that the market likes Carex because of the fact that we are a company that was an OEM company moving to a branded segment. And it's very difficult to compare us with our competitors like, you know, Ansell or Reckitt, because a portion of Ansell's business is only in condoms. In fact, they're more in glove business. With Reckitt, they are actually more in consumer business. So it's, we don't really have a pure good comparison in this area. And I think with the potential that Carex have in terms of growth, that is really where I think the market is valuing us today.
All right, let's talk about the markets. We mentioned a little bit about Latin America, and Latin America is very Catholic of a region. Is there a stigma on using condoms there at the retail level?
Not really. In fact, countries like Brazil is probably one of our biggest markets. Mm-hmm. You know, and until you go to Brazil, especially if you go to a carnival season, you actually see that, you know, you don't really see that stigma there anywhere. Yeah, it's people are very open. And I think that whole stigma is sort of eroding today. People are feeling a lot more comfortable with the use of condoms because it's just not about, you know, it's not a bad thing when you actually grab a pack of condom. Mm. In fact, it's actually, you know, you're actually being responsible is where we see it. I would say that the change in terms of lifestyle has helped a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, with viruses like Zika today and Ebola, it's something which even married couples would have to use them.
All right. Let's shift our focus from Latin America to Africa. In 2013, about 31% of market share is there. Your revenue share in terms of doing business globally. Right now it's 37. Clearly it's growing year on year. Is Africa the new market for you?
Africa is an important market because where Carex is today, we are very strong in the government tender business. And today, even when we talk to the agencies like the United Nations, the percentage of use of condoms in Africa today, it's only about 25% at surveys when people use them at the last sexual intercourse. And governments, the WHO, do realize that that level has to brought up to be at least about 75%. So there's currently a platform which manufacturers and the UN are talking. It's at a platform called 20 by 20, which is they would like to have at least 20 billion condoms in Africa by 2020. And currently where we see Africa is only probably using about 4 to 5 billion condoms. Mm-hmm. So by 2020, there's a lot more condoms that Africa will require.
Are you looking into Asia, perhaps China as well, because of China's abolishment of the one-child policy? Do you think this is a market that you can grow?
Asia has always been a market that we have been seeing. It's our home market where we are closest to. We are familiar with this market. So the potential for Asian growth is actually tremendous.
So while we are focusing on organic growth, it seems that Carex Berhad is also on a drive of M&A. December last year, Carex Berhad acquired Medical Latex Duos and Berhad. Just in January, a few weeks back, you acquired They Fit, as well as there's also plans on acquiring more firms, it seems. Why is there a need for you to consolidate all these other businesses? Is this a business trying to grow market or trying to squeeze out other small players out there in the market?
With regards to Medical Latex, that was a little bit different because we acquired another condom maker. With regards to Global Protection and Dayfit, they are all both condom brands. So with regards to Medical Latex, we think that there is opportunity to grow this business. It's also a lucrative contract that comes together with the purchase where we will be supplying back to Beiersdorf, a German company, a German multinational that probably produces more well-known products that people know. It's called Nivea. And they do condoms as well, and we are supplying back to them. We are moving towards branded segment. And with brands, it's very difficult to grow them organically. It takes a very long time. So with the recent acquisition of Dayfit, that's been a very interesting acquisition because that is something where we talk about innovations. That is where condoms now comes in 95 sizes. It's probably like how a woman will go to a bra department and buy their bras. For now, you know, men doesn't have to all squeeze into one size. Now it comes in 95 sizes. You go online, you measure yourself, and you tell yourself what size it is. And, you know, and again, condom is a very sticky product. So if you stick on to the size, you probably stick on for life.
Yeah, okay. And I'm pretty sure there's more than 95 sizes out there in the market as well.
Oh, yeah.
There you have it. That's MK Goh, the CEO of the world's largest condom manufacturer, Karix Berhad. Thank you, MK. This is The Breakfast Grill, and I am Ibrahim Sani. You're listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.